Hey everyone, welcome to the Paradox College Podcast. I'm Caleb Hickson. On today's episode, I've got Caleb Watkins, one of our residents, and Cammie Stickler, a TCU senior, as we talk about friendship. All right, what's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast.
What's up?
Hi.
Hello, Cammie. This is your inaugural Paradox College podcast, though a little birdie told me that you were on the Advent series last year.
I was.
Yeah, what was that like?
It was fun. I loved it. It was a new experience for me, actually, though.
What was the, for all of our new listeners out there who maybe didn't join the Advent podcast, like Mr. Watkins,
too,
what was that?
That was,
put her on the spot.
Sorry. I did the story of Mary. So there was a group of students that we all did a different story of the Bible. And so I was able to write just my own podcast, and it was just an Advent series that we all got to talk about, and it was really sweet.
Yeah. Nice. It was a daily Advent devotional the church was going through, and so as a college ministry, we did a daily podcast that went along with that devotional that you could listen to kind of supplement the devotional in the season of Advent, and which is actually still up on our however you're listening to this. It is currently December 13th, so it's right in the thick of Advent. You could go find it and listen to the story of Mary. You did a great job on it, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cammie's a podcast pro.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is.
It was fun.
Cool. So we are in the process of wrapping up our relationship series on our podcast. Caleb, why are we doing this particular topic of friendship?
Yeah. Man, I think relationship, one of the coolest facets of relationships we have is friendship. And, you know, there's very cool ways of each gender's having their friendships, how they correlate with one another, how they respond to one another, even having friendships across gender boundaries of just having a really close girlfriend or having a really close boyfriend, but not in like a super intimate way, but like a really cool.
But not like a girlfriend.
Yeah, not a girlfriend.
Like if you had both of those, that'd be an issue.
Exactly. But like a unique friendship relationship. And like Christ calls the church to be a tight family unit. And like, that is through friendship and through loving, caring friendship. And so that's why we're talking about this.
Yeah, so obviously like relationships in the traditional form is important because I don't think that there is enough information out there on how to date well.
Mm-hmm.
And yet for a lot of people out there, you might not be in a relationship right now. You might not be dating somebody right now. And so those topics might not be necessarily applicable to you. But the reason why I love friendship is because we are all literally affected by friendships. We're all engaged in some friendships at some level. And so, Cammie, why is this topic like important to you? Why as our friendship expert that we've brought on, what do you feel about friendships?
I would just say, I think friendships in college, friendships in high school, just in any aspect of my life, they're just like something that has been so important to me. I just think anyone that I've talked to about friendships in my life, they have just been, I just have cared so deeply about every aspect of friendship that I've had and every relationship that I've had. And even though every single friendship that I've had in my life is so completely different, I've had some friendships that, I don't know, that can be on a deeper level, some on a more surface level, and we can go into that later about how every aspect of a friendship can be different compared to a specific person. But I just think that friendships are just so important, and they can just show they can just teach you so much about who you are and just about God just puts people in your life for a person just for a specific purpose, and can teach you so much about not only who you are but who he is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't there, what's that famous C.S. Lewis quote where he talks about how his friends, and when one of his friends died, he literally felt like he lost a part of himself because that friend brought out a part of him that only that friend could do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's part of the beauty of friendships, is that God made us for relationships. He made us to be in community with each other. And so we are called into these friendships, and yet friendships can also be painful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Friendships can also be hard and can be a source of a lot of pain. Have you guys experienced any pain in friendship?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Man, and that quote I think resonates so well with me, because I can think of like friends right now who I've never laughed harder in my entire life with anyone else except those friends. And they pull that out of me. But also in a sense of like some friends, like when I see them hurting or like going through something hard, like it feels like I'm going through that too.
Sure.
And it hurts and it's super tough. And like sometimes you even get to the extent where you want to like pull away from that friend. But it's the pain, it's like the suffering that you go through alongside them that just like bears deeper fruit alongside that friendship.
Yeah.
And so like it can be something that's so tough, but it's worth it in the end if you share in those sufferings with close friends.
Yeah.
I think it's what's really hard for me, I've seen like the most pain in is when you're giving so much into a friendship and they don't reciprocate it.
Yeah.
But I think that's like so much of who Jesus is he gives us so much and so much many times like I run away so much and that's like so much of friendships of I've learned of so many times I've like fought for so many friendships and I've just seen the fruit of it of I've fought and so many times they eventually like will come and like that's like Jesus's timing and even though like I think we are all given different gifts and some people just love in different ways. And I've just learned in my friendships that I'm going to love them in different ways than they're going to love me. And if they're not going to love me in the same way that I'm going to love them, that's okay. But I've just had to be patient and I've had to wait. And then I've just also just learned to be okay that they can't love me in the way that I want to love them, but that's totally okay. And it's just the way that like, sometimes those relationships are, but you can still grow so much and get so much out of that relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. What do you guys think friendships are for? Like, what's the point of friendships? What's why do we do friendships in any ways?
I think they're just, God even says, like, we are not supposed to be on this earth alone. Like, community is the most important thing. And to grow together and to be alongside community is just so, so important. And I mean, without friendships for me, I like, for one, it just teaches me how to be patient, to like be kind, to show how to love people well, to, I don't know, to like, shows me my flaws when I like am just falling short because friendships are, you have to sacrifice for friendships in so many ways. Even when you realize that you don't even realize when you're doing it. And it just teaches me so much. And so I think friendships are just so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said at the beginning, like God intended for us to be in community. And I think a lot of people can get it twisted where they think, oh, well, God didn't intend for me to be alone. So I need to go find a spouse. You know, I need to go find a girlfriend or a boyfriend and what he intended was for us to be in community and like to be around people who love us, who want to see the best in us, want to push us towards Jesus. And so I think that's a great point that like shout out to our last podcast in singleness. Right. Like you don't have to be in a marriage relationship to like have super close friends that are going to check in on you and know like the deepest parts of your soul, because like that's what friends are for. They're community to love us well and push us towards Christ. It doesn't have to be a spouse. Yeah. You know, it's okay to be single and have super close friends who love you well.
Absolutely. And look, like when we read the Bible there, you can't get through the Bible with this idea that as a Christian, it is okay to be a Lone Ranger Christian, right? Like when you read scripture, it is filled with community. It's filled with relationships. It's filled with people surrounding themselves, being in community, being formed by those people that they've put around them. And so I think that it is a good and right thing that we engage in friendships, but oftentimes where it goes wrong, specifically for me, if I'm just being totally honest, is I make the friendships about me. I make the relationships what can serve me, who's going to be the funniest person for me, or who's going to like help me or whatever it is. I turn it in on myself. And I think that's where relationships go sideways. But when you look at even Jesus's life, he surrounds himself with people who, man, listen, the 12 disciples, those guys weren't probably adding a ton of value to his life. And yet he was serving them. He was discipling them through friendship, not just this mentor style, like the discipler styled relationship where he's just their teacher, but he lived in community with them. He lived his life with them. And he says in John, I know I call you friends. Because the friend knows what the father's doing. Yep. And so so we've got this wonderful example from Jesus of like what friendship should and ought to be. We got a call. We even see within the Trinity, God, like the Trinitarian God himself, that there's community there. You know, before the foundations of the earth, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father are all in relationship with each other. And out of the overflow of that relationship, he creates the earth.
Yeah.
So we've got just tons of biblical examples of why we do friendship, what friendship is for. It's definitely not about us, and yet it's easy to make about us. And so my question, I guess, for you guys is, what does it look like if friendship's not about us and it is about the other person? What does it look like to be a student of people, and especially in new friendships? How can that help serve your friendships?
Yeah. No, I think that's a great question, because you're so right of we have a deeper sin issue that leads us to want to be so selfish in every aspect of our life. And so being friends with someone is going to take work. I think it'll also take work on knowing the person and actually asking them like intentional questions to know what they like, what they want to do, like things they enjoy, so you can like take that in. And so one person I've learned from significantly over this past few months of being in Fort Worth is Nathan Duane, our other resident. Mm-hmm. Man, I just speaking to him, he'll just do something for me that I didn't even know I needed, and he'll like bring in his favorite pack of gum because he knew I would enjoy it with him. And like that's a little moment of friendship kindness that Indy shows me, and it like makes me feel seen and loved by someone when I didn't even know I needed that for that day. And so he's been someone that has been teaching me. But like along those same lines, I think it's also just focusing on who you're friends with. So if you're friends with someone who you know enjoys movies, like ask them to go see a movie with you every once in a while. Even if you don't particularly enjoy movies, you know they do. Do something they enjoy because it'll make them feel seen. And I think just really paying attention to detail is a great thing for friendships.
Yeah, I think for me, I didn't even realize like what it even meant to be a student of people until coming to college. When I met Sid Smith, she was Paradox now too.
Shout out.
Yep. My freshman year. She would pursue me and constantly just text me, how are you doing? Like, do you want to go do this? Do you want to, like, bring me coffee? And always just constantly ask me how I'm doing and just ask me these details about my life and just remember one thing after the other. And I've never had a friend that would do that for me, and I honestly at first was taken back by it, and I would just be like, what are you doing? Like I was like, I've never had a friend do that for me.
Stop caring about me so much.
Yeah. No, literally, at first I was like, girl, like this is too much. And it taught me the meaning of vulnerability, and just so much of just really just showed that a friend could truly care so deeply. And at first it made me so mad, but I was like, okay, this is a true meaning of friendship, and how someone could truly sacrifice and just care that much. Just so good.
Yeah, and I think that also speaks to just like this idea that friendship, community isn't found, but it's formed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so oftentimes we just want friends. We just have this desire for friends because we don't want to be lonely, or because whatever it is, it's like causing us to have that desire. And so then we just are like, okay, I should have friends. Let me go out and get them. And then we get frustrated and we grow weary because we're ultimately trying to use friends to like, to fill a desire in our own heart. And that's going to go sideways because even that is using those people for your own selfish gain, when friendship really is a sign of that the self-sacrificing, loving someone else. When friendship becomes about the other person, you can reach out to them. You can initiate. You're okay with like being the person who's always taking that first step because it's not about you. It's about them.
Yeah.
And that's honestly, what's crazy about that is then, that's what makes a good friend. Like when you think about good friends in your life, it's the people who what? Who pursue you.
Yeah, exactly.
Who come after you. And I am so selfish that's like what I want from friends, but that's not what I'm willing to be.
Yeah. You can definitely say we, because I'm the same way.
Me too.
I also want to speak to the thing you said about forming friendships. I think we will, for me, I write people off too quickly sometimes. So an example I can give, a story being back in college, I had a friend who's a super close friend now, but when I first met him, he was playing against me in basketball. Like, he was actually doing me in a little bit on the court. And so I was like, all right, I don't know if I'm going to lie. And, okay, and when he listens to this, he'll know exactly who I'm talking about. Sure. But, like, I was sitting there thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to like this guy. And I was rushing a fraternity, so I was thinking, I'm going to have to go through pledgeship with him. He's going to annoy me the whole time. And, like, the next week, we had a super intentional conversation. Like, he made me laugh a ton.
Yeah.
And now he's one of my closest friends that came out of Texas Tech. And yeah. so yeah. I wrote him off. But because he pursued me and loved me well, he's one of my closest friends now. And yeah. so now it kind of flips the script of, okay, like, don't write people off, like, pursue them. Because you never know who's going to be, like, a super close friend for you mm-hmm. and who God intended to be in your life in that moment. If you have, like, a closed off, sure. closed eyes type mindset.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's so good. And you know, friendship is complicated and it's hard and it's challenging, and yet it's worth it. And I think we could all attest to, like, friendship just being one of the sweetest gifts the Lord has given us yeah. in life. Mm-hmm. And so, man, I just kind of want to take this conversation a couple different directions. And so I've got some questions that I'm curious if you guys could speak to, right? So, like, if we are all kind of on the same page about friendship being serving, friendship being community, how, like, the Lord has given us great examples of friendship. So then, how do we go about calling our friends to repentance, right? If we're living in community, if we're walking alongside of other people, we're seeing them. One of the great gifts of friendship and communities is that your friends are going to see your blind spots. We all have blind spots, and your friends are going to see your blind spots, and you are going to see your friends' blind spots. So then how do we call our friends to repentance in a loving way?
I think I would first have to, like, talk to them about what repentance actually truly means. I think when a friend talked to me about what this meant, I first was like, oh, so you're just telling me I have to say sorry.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, that's not even what that means. I think repentance truly means bringing them back to the Lord and yeah. his true plan for what their life is. And I think it's just confession and truly just repenting to the Lord what's actually going on. And I think if you're just repenting, I think there's so much, I think there's a difference between calling out a sin, in a shameful way, but pointing out, what they can't see. And I think that repentance can just be turned into a loving, I don't know, just a loving and, I don't know, just a loving way of.
Well, you're serving them, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not love if you're just going to look the other way.
Yeah.
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 Right.
And I think when my friend first pointed me towards repentance, I think she was literally pointing me back towards my identity in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I was totally blinded towards what I was doing and towards my sin and whatever I was even, I don't know, whatever I was even doing. And I think when I even learned what repentance meant, it fully even showed me who the Lord was.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think there's so much more towards when you fully understand what repentance is, I think you're fully going to see who the Lord is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great point. It also, too, just leading out in repentance yourself.
Sure, yeah.
And so, man,
it's a lot easier to call somebody repentance when you yourself are walking in
exactly,
repentance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I was blessed by an older guy who taught me repentance very well. And so when I was taught by him, the ability to bring it to my friend group and just say to them, like, hey, I know I can be prideful sometimes. Like, I know I can call y'all out when I haven't been calling myself out or that kind of thing. In them seeing, oh, man, like, Caleb is actually trying to repent to us.
Mm-hmm.
And me saying, hey, I see this in you as well. Like, can we work together to reach this repentance and walk away from the sin and walk towards Jesus together? Because it's not like I'm five steps ahead of my friend next mm-hmm. to me. Like, we're walking hand in hand together because we are both sinners. And, like, we don't deserve this grace, but Christ has freely given it to us. So let's walk towards Christ together hand in hand.
Yeah.
Not just, I'm 10 steps ahead of you, so like look at me and you got to repent this way. Right. No, we're repenting together because right. we're both sinners.
Yeah, it's the speck in the log from exactly an analogy that Jesus uses, right? Like you're going to find it's a lot easier to call your friends to repentance when you guys are having these types of conversations and you're leading out in that repentance. Yeah. But you've got to take care of the log in your eye first. Mm-hmm. And you got to make sure that you are leading a life of repentance first before you then try to call out your friend's sin. And so I don't know that there's any right or wrong way to do it. I would err on the side of doing it rather than not doing it. I would say right now in our culture, it's a lot more prevalent to just not talk about those types of things and to not call our friends to repentance. And yet, if we're going to be loving them, to your point, Cammy, then we've got to be actually speaking the truth in yeah. love in a gentle way, leading out in ourselves. But like, that's what you want from your friendships. Mm-hmm. Like I'm old in this conversation, but I don't know right now how we do this whole good vibes only business where it's just like, we don't talk about the hard stuff. We don't talk about this.
Yeah.
We just stay on the surface and then everything's fine. It's all good, right?
No.
For me now, like, I feel like I can't have that many surface level like friendships anymore,
right?
Because it's honestly tiring to keep.
Oh, it's exhausting.
To keep up just like the hey, how are you doing?
Good. Because you expend all of your social energy yes. and yet you don't get anything in return. It's those deeper below the surface conversations that actually like do the work in you that mm-hmm. allows for you to like to continue on in that relationship.
Yeah, I would rather have someone come up and tell me and like challenge me and continue to pursue me and have a deep relationship with me and know everything about me and walk with me and pursue me and push me towards the Lord than a surface level relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. So then my next question would be, you know, is it wise to have friends of the opposite gender?
I think it's, yes, I think it's...
feels like you're super confident in that.
I mean, I just think the question, the wise, is it wise? Yep. Like, yes, you can have friends of the opposite gender.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. I just think there's going to be a different level of friendship that I'm going to have with my friends that are girls.
Absolutely.
Than I'm going to have with my friends that are guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree.
You know, like, I just think there's just going to be different boundaries there that I'm going to talk with my friends that are girls.
Well, listen, like, I framed that question that way because I know I've had conversations with people in the past who just have said, you know what, like, I'm okay to be friendly with people of the opposite gender, but I'm not going to have any friends of the opposite gender. It's not wise for me to have those friends.
Yeah.
And I'm in agreement with you, Cammy, of like, I think that we need both sides. I think what actually is gone wrong and a lot of the times is that we as a culture, especially within the church, have begun to view the opposite sex as potential spouses more than brothers and sisters.
Yep.
And so when we view them as potential spouses instead of brothers and sisters, every time we come into a situation where somebody of the opposite sex is there, it's, oh, okay, are they looking at me like this? Are they like, am I presentable? And like you begin to filter everything through that lens instead of, no, this is my brother, this is my sister in the Lord. And when you have that familial type of lens that you see them in, then absolutely, yes, you can be friends with them. And I think that you ought to be friends with them. It's just when we make it, well, could I marry that person? Why are you asking yourself that question when you just met this person, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you can't be, like, look, we've done dating podcasts. You go listen to those dating podcasts. I'm just simply saying from the point of friendship, yes, you need those relationships.
Yeah, and if you only have, like, if I were to only have guy friends, I immediately take my friendship down a level because having, friends that are girls brings in a totally different outlook on life that I would never get from some of my crazy guy friends back in college. Like, I was grounded by some of the girlfriends I had in college that would speak into me very sweetly and had, like, a courtesy towards me that guys just don't bring sometimes. Like, guys can be rough around the edges, and girls are good to be around sometimes when you just need to, like, relax, and they speak into you, like, patiently. And they just bring a whole, like, new aspect to life that you don't look at from the opposite side.
Right.
And I'm not saying that all girls are patient and, like,
sure.
I'm just saying that the ones I had in college helped me tremendously, even with my relationship with my current wife. Like, man, I had girls speak into that relationship and help me love Abby better, that I'm so thankful for. And looking back at it is like, I don't think I would have gotten that from guys,
sure,
particularly.
Yeah.
Because they know Abby. They know her ins and outs and what she's thinking.
Women are made in the image of God just as much as men.
Exactly.
And there's and listen, I'm not going to get into the political conversation about gender and stuff. However, I will say this. I think that we are all made uniquely with specific ways and designed in a specific way. And we need both sides.
Mm-hmm.
To have the fully formed picture of God.
Exactly.
I agree.
And yet, again, to Cammie's point, I do think there is a level of wisdom with those friendships. I'm not saying that your best friend ought to be somebody of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
I'm simply saying that you ought to have friends who know you well of the opposite gender.
Mm-hmm.
If you're best friend is of the opposite sex, I think that maybe we could have a different conversation about that, of like, is that really wise? Are you actually like loving and serving them well? Are you guys in a healthy spot in your friendship? I think that there is some levels of just like, you know, I think you put it well, Cammie, of like the different levels of friendship that probably those people in your closest circle, the three or so people in your closest circle, ought to all pretty much be of the same gender as you.
Yeah.
But and the reason why I say that, because, man, listen, maybe somebody's listening to this right now and they're like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why are you going to say it's okay, but then not to have like the closest friend? I would just simply say, because your closest friends ought to be those people who you are sharing the deepest depths of your heart with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an emotional intimacy that comes with that, to be quite frank, just gets really muddy and murky when it crosses gender boundaries.
Yeah.
Like when you begin to share that with another person, that's when it becomes harder and harder to actually walk in the light as a brother and sister, because you're going into these depths of your soul like that. And so, no, I don't think that your best friend should be of the opposite sex. However, I do think that you need to have women or men in your life who know you well, who can speak into you, and you can be walking in community. And to that point, I would ask you guys then the question is it okay to confess sin to the opposite sex?
Yeah. And, you know, this is kind of a debated topic, especially in the Christian world of outlook of things. Man, I think to an extent it is okay to admit sin, but there's some things that, like, you may personally struggle with that it might be better to confide in someone who's the same gender of you as you, because, man, maybe they're struggling something similar, like in a similar sense. Like, one thing I can think of for a lot of guys that were close friends with me in college, like struggling with pornography. Like, I wouldn't say to them, like, you should go admit that to your closest girlfriend, because I don't think that would be beneficial. And I don't think that talking about that in that light would be the best for him in that moment. And for me as a man, like, I can see where he's coming from. Like, I've struggled with the same thing before, and I can love him through that and walk alongside him. You know, if he were to go tell his closest girlfriend, if she's never struggled with that, that might be a big bomb dropped on her. And she's like, I don't know how to navigate this.
Yeah.
This has gotten really blurry really fast. So for things like that, the really personal sense, I always line up with, it's best to stick with your closest friends, like you were saying, Caleb, that are typically the same gender as you. Getting a phone.
Cammie's got a phone call. You got somebody.
Phone in.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Somebody want to join the conversation? Who is it? Oh, it's FaceTime.
My twin sister, guys.
Oh, she was like, listen, you can't have a podcast without me.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry, Cammie, to just hop in here, but I would agree on that. There is a certain level of wisdom that you should confess your sin to the depth of your friendship.
Yep.
Right. So, like, the deeper things of your heart, the deeper sins, I would say those need to be reserved for the people in that close circle. However, I think that we have kind of swung the pendulum a little bit too far into like, okay, I can only confess my sin to those people closest to me, and then I never end up confessing my sin to my other friends. And then what happens, I think, is we begin to actually put up barriers in our friendships and our relationships, to where, dude, there are times when we will sin against each other, and we ought to be confessing and repenting of those sins with each other.
Yep.
And so, yes, 100%, you should be confessing sin to your friends who are of the opposite sex, but you need to make sure that it is the level of confession matches the level of relationship, in my opinion.
Yep,
Cammie, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with both of you. I think all sin that is confessed to either opposite gender or of the same gender, it's okay, but I think there's just like a different boundary that's set there, like you guys both said. I think the sin that I'm gonna be confessing to like my like closest girlfriends is probably gonna be different than the sin that I'll be like confessing to my guy friends, but that doesn't mean that I still like I'm gonna be like confessing sin to my guy friends, because I think that's just gonna I don't know, show like the glory of God, because I think we should all be I think we're all broken and we should be like confessing and growing with God together, and if we're believers and like growing in community, I think that just I think we should be like all growing together, so I think it's okay. I think there's just like a different level on that, and I think if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we should be calling each other out on that, and like that's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think if we're close enough friends in that, we should have open communication as well. And so with like my guy friends, I think it's okay, but I think we would know that there's a certain communication point of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I've had girls come to me who have said, hey, the way that you handled this situation in our city group was made me like uncomfortable, or the way that you said this was like, it didn't sit well with me. And to be honest with you, like the guys in the city group didn't feel the same way, but I got to experience and grow deeper in my relationship with God because these women came to me and said, hey, look, I didn't enjoy that. And so if we don't have this willingness to kind of have those conversations, I think we're just cutting off an entire half of God that we shouldn't have to do.
Yeah. And this isn't like some idea we're just making up in this room right now. Like, it's biblical. Yeah. Because when I read this question earlier, I was thinking about it. And so I looked up a verse in James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so that's to one another. It doesn't say like, confess it to your brothers.
Only girls.
Yeah, confess it to your sisters. Like, it says to one another.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think looking at it through a wise lens of like what is okay to confess here in this moment is something you should do as a Christian, and be wise and let the Spirit lead you in that.
Yeah. All right. So then my last question to kind of wrap up this conversation and to kind of tie all of these topics together a little bit is, how would you date someone and still keep your friends? How do you do that? What are just some like best practices? What are some things to be aware of, to be mindful of as you're trying to date somebody and not, I don't know about you guys. I think we've probably all experienced the person who you're like close with. You guys are buds, your pals, and they start dating somebody and you never see them again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, that's not okay. That's not what we're looking for. So then how do you do that and still keep friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really passionate about this question for sure, because I dated my wife all through college. And so every single friend I made in college became friends with her. And so I absolutely loved dating with a community of friends around us, because they spoke into us, they loved us well, but it can make friendships harder and it can make dating harder on both sides. But I think at the end of the day, like we've been saying this whole podcast, both ends are worth it. And so in college, me and Abby had this agreement, which Abby is my wife. We had an agreement that, hey, this is like the only time we're going to get to be able to live with friends that are super close to us. So like, let's be intentional with our friends here. And there were some nights that like me and Abby would want to go see a movie together, but one of my friends was going through something hard. And I would be like, Abby, I'm sorry, but I need to be here with him because he really needs to talk to me. And that was hard for Abby. It was hard for me. But because she loved my friend just as much as I loved him, she was okay with it. And so, man, you got to sacrifice a little bit if you're in a dating relationship, because you have friends for a reason. Your friends need your love just as much as your person you're dating needs your love, because it's not your spouse yet. Like, you're just dating right now. And so this person who's suffering, like, you need to love them well, and you don't need to just drop them at a hat because your girlfriend wants you to go, or your boyfriend wants you to go get dinner with them. Like, your friend's suffering, like, go care for him, because you're not in a covenant with this other person. Like, you're not required or bounded to them. And I know that sounds harsh and severe, but like, it's your friend, and like, that's your brother, that's your sister in Christ that needs you in that moment. So you should go care for them. You should go love them.
Yeah.
What do you think, Cammie?
I'm not in a relationship right now, but I am in college, and I've seen so many relationships like this, and I've seen ones that are so healthy, and I've seen ones that are just not the same. And I think
that the most important thing is just communication between your partner and your friends. And the thing that I would think is most important, especially if I was in a relationship right now, would just be communicating with my boyfriend, if or anything, would just be my friends are also so important just as much as you. Yeah. And just the way that my friends have poured into me, I would just want to make sure that they are just as important and as poured into as much as my boyfriend or whoever. Yeah. I'm dating. And I don't know, I just think that is like one of my worst fears, like going into a relationship or yeah. anything, is just that I'm gonna lose friends, because yeah. I've just seen just like the front of that with mm-hmm. just people in my life. And I just know like how hard it is to like entering into a relationship and losing people, because it is hard, like being in a relationship and that's so new and that's so exciting and right. all of the things, and it's hard to time manage. I get it. But it's also so important to remember that those people, those friends, have poured into you and cared for you and yeah. have sacrificed so much for you, and you can do the same thing because of what they have done for you, just as much as loving your boyfriend well.
Yeah.
So that's I
think it helps like set your dating relationship up for health when yeah. you when you do that, when you are intentional about like still maintaining those yes. friendships. And this is what I mean. So like I've used this phrase a bunch over the years and it's kind of ambiguous, but whatever. I think that dating ought to look a lot more like intentional friendship than it does whatever yeah. its current form is in the society. And what I mean by that in regards to this specific question is your dating relationship ought to look pretty similar in the amount of time spent with that person as your closest friends. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't yeah. all of a sudden take this top spot to where now everything else just is secondary to that relationship. But you ought to have some level of similarity in the amount of time spent with your significant other as you do with your closest friends and the people that you're in closest community with. Because what that's going to do is that if, Lord willing, your relationship does continue and you guys end up do getting married, you will have learned what it looks like to be in community while dating and be able to do that while you're married. Because when you get married, you're going to need to be in community. You guys are going to need to still have friends individually. And if you don't have the practice of doing that while you're dating, there's no flip that it gets switched, that or no switch that gets flipped that yeah. Yeah. that then happens yeah. when you get married to where now, oh, great, now we can be friends with people again. It's just going to be harder to do it when you become
yeah.
married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're also just going to need, like, your people when you're in yeah. any relationship yep. so much.
Yeah. And yes.
It's just going to be so important. And so without just like, I don't know, getting rid of those people, it's just going to be yeah. so. And I see like my parents too now, like looking at my parents' marriage and seeing their community around them. And it's just like they would need it so much yeah. in anything. And so just remembering that when getting into any relationship is so key.
Yeah, for sure. And if you look at, man, some of my friends get so upset with other friends who are dating people and will just go hang out with them all the time. I think it's because, like you were saying, Caleb, like dating should be this intentional friendship. Like you've built this intentional friendship with yeah. your two friends, and when you drop them quick for mm-hmm. like some girl,
mm-hmm. yep.
that's how you can lose friends so fast. Because yep. yeah. you're like, man, we've built this. We've been friends for 4 years.
We've been forming this yes, friendship.
I've been bonding with yeah. you. And now that some girl comes along, some guy comes along, and you're just hanging out with them all the time.
Right.
That hurts.
Yeah.
It feels like a breakup
yeah.
when you lose a close friend yeah. to a new dating relationship. That's hard. And so just being mindful of that, of like, absolutely. You can still love your dating relationship well, but it's also a new friendship.
Yeah.
And take care of your long-holding yes. friendships, because they will take care of you in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, what a fun conversation, you guys. Thanks yeah. so much for hopping on the podcast today. Any parting thoughts, any last words that you were like, man, I just really got to say this on friendship?
I don't know. I mean, just like, especially in college, like as a college student, I would just say like, really take the time to like pour into your people.
Yeah.
I know college can be like so stressful and there's so many things going on, but just like take the time to like build deep and meaningful relationships. Yeah. Like, it's so hard to be doing so many different things, and I know life can get crazy, but as a senior and like looking back on like my 4 years of college, I can genuinely say that like I would never regret like pouring into the people I have and sacrificing the time to reach out to those people and send that text that might have been scary because I didn't think that person would respond mm-hmm. to get coffee with me. But now that they did, and now they're like some of my best friends because I like took the jump to just text that random person.
Yeah.
And so just do it. You're not going to lose anything by texting that person. Yeah. And college is about making as many friends as possible. So do it. And
yeah. Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. And I think one last thing I would say, it kind of agreeing with you, Cammy, I love what you just said. Man, just seeing all my friends that I got to hang out with through college and that loved me so well, and Abby's friends who loved her so well. When we got married, you look at both sides of our wedding party, and I can look at each of those persons and remember how intentionally they loved me, and not only me, but loved Abby. And so now in my marriage, I feel secured and loved by friends who I know will be here if something ever, like, if weather were to get bad, like, they're going to come here to hold an umbrella for me and love me well. And so, man, it pour into those friendships and those relationships, because in the long run, like, they're going to be the people that stand by you when things get tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, I think that when we consider the weight of all of the one another's in Scripture, that's what we're called to in friendship. And yeah. So my encouragement to you guys is right in line with y'all of love one another,
mm-hmm.
encourage one another, honor one another, bear with one another,
yeah.
forgive one another, walk in community with one another.
Yes.
And I think that when we do that, we're going to experience the joys and also the pain and sufferings of friendships, because we're messy, messed up people, and friendships are going to be hard. But just mm-hmm. because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't do it.
For sure.
So thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast on friendship. If you've got any thoughts, questions, man, hit us up on Instagram, DM us. You can email me, Caleb@theparadoxchurch.com. Happy to engage with you more on this topic. And until next time, peace.
Peace out, Paradox.
Bye.